Hey guys, welcome back to What Am I Watching? I am Yaz.
And I'm Maddie. And today's episode, we're going to talk about School of Rock.
Yep.
So this was a movie that you had never seen and that I grew up seeing all the time.
Yes. I watched it for the first time a couple weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
So
the movie that we're doing is School of Rock, which is came out in 2003, is a comedy film with Jack Black, Jonah Cusack, Mike White, and Sarah Silverman, and Miranda Cosgrove, and a lot of other people, too.
Miranda Cosgrove.
Did you like it, the movie?
Yeah, I liked it. It was good. Yeah. I don't know, I think I first heard about it as a musical, because they had the musical. So I thought it was a musical at first, and then you're like, no, it's a movie, and I was like, oh. So it's kind of like the whole Waitress thing, right, where it wasn't really songs first. I thought it was going to be a little bit more. I think it was a bit, sometimes it was a little underwhelming, but I think it's just because I thought of it in a musical aspect, instead of like a movie aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I looked at it from like the movie way, it was good. I like the plot.
Well, you thought it was a musical, and it's a movie based off of music. Kind of like, about music. It's a movie about music.
A musical based off of, oh wait, based on it.
Yeah.
Now, yeah.
So, well, so did anything, I guess, so the movie was made by Paramount Pictures. I thought it was made by Nickelodeon.
It's not.
It's by Paramount Pictures.
I like Jack Black. I always liked him. I liked him in this movie. He was good. It was interesting. He usually doesn't, I don't know, like, the characters he plays are usually a little bit nicer. So, he's kind of like a dick in this movie. A little bit. So, it's interesting to see that.
He's interesting in the movie, and we'll go on more about that. But just to give you some background about the movie, it came out on October 3rd, 2003 by Paramount Pictures and made about $131 million on its release and had a budget about $35 million. I love this movie. I mean, I just love it. It's such a good movie. I've seen it probably upwards of 20 times in my whole life since it's been released.
Wow.
So I used to watch it a lot with my dad. I think that was the biggest thing. So in case anyone doesn't know, me and Yaz are sisters, but we have an 8 years age difference. So that would be why you didn't see this movie when it came out, because you weren't born yet.
Yes. Also, we have different dads, so I wasn't watching it with your dad.
Yeah.
Was I?
Well, this...
I grew up with a lot of different movies.
I'm pretty sure I saw this movie in the theaters. So, 2003, I would have been 7 at the time. It was 1 year before you were born.
Oh.
So, actually, a few months before.
But like, I will say, honestly, I never even heard of the movie. I always only, like, heard of the musical.
Yeah.
Because there's a song called, like, Stick It to the Man. And, like, I saw the reference in the movie, but there's, like, a whole song about it in the musical, which I like listening to, but that was basically it. Before that, I had never heard of this movie.
Okay. Well, I thought before we started and with the commentary, we'll go over some fun facts that I found while searching for, researching the movie for this podcast that I didn't know before. One thing that surprised me was that this movie's rated PG-13, and I didn't know that when I was a kid.
It seems PG-13. You don't think so?
I think after watching as an adult and then noticing the context, they do drink in the movie. They do, there's references to smoking weed in the movie. So then now I think I understand, like, oh yeah, it's rated PG-13. But when I was a kid, I felt like it was like everywhere. And so I just assumed it was rated PG-13. Also, it has a bunch of 10-year-olds in it.
Yes.
it's marketed, it's for kids. Like, the movie is for kids.
The main character is an adult.
Yeah,
I think
but
it is also for adults, because in a way it's more like the kids are kind of teaching him the morals.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So then you're reading for the main character, which
no,
is
it. But yeah. One thing I also thought was interesting, which I think I knew when this movie came out, or at least assumed, is that every single person that plays an instrument in the movie actually did play them in real life and played it for the movie. So a lot of talented 10 to 12 year olds in this movie, and that everyone pretty much knew how to sing, act, or play the instrument of which they played in the movie. Miranda, one thing that I thought was interesting is that Miranda Cosgrove originally auditioned to be one of the backup singers for the movie, and they liked her. Oh, they made her Summer, and she had to pretend to not be able to sing for that scene where she tries to sing Memory. So
I like the music references in this movie. I really do. I liked all the rock references. Even like the Memory reference was really funny. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I don't see that a lot nowadays.
I like the cast. I think that that's a big thing that makes this movie such a good movie is, of course, Jack Black. It's one of my favorite movies that he's in. And then I'm going to butcher this name, but it's, Joanna Cusack. She is so good. She's in so many good movies. That is just, like...
Yeah, so she plays a principal. And I saw her and I was like, oh, I've seen her in Shameless. She was in Shameless. And, dude, she was so funny in that show. And then they just kind of kicked her out, which really sucked. But she was there for, like, a good 2-3 seasons. And she was, like, the funniest character. She's really good.
Well, some of the other things you could have seen her in was... she's in 16 Candles. I think she's more of a background player. She's in Toy Story 2, 3, and 4. She plays Jessie, the voice of Jessie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's also in Perks of Being a Wildflower. She plays...
Perks of Being a Wildflower.
Yeah. She's also in The Office. She's in Runaway Bride, made in 1999. I don't think you've ever seen that movie, have you?
No.
She's also in A Series of Unfortunate Events, which is the newest thing she's in, where she plays Justice Strauss. So, you saw that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she's in, one of my favorite is, like, the Addams Family Values, which is the second Emily Family remake, and she plays Debbie.
That was cool.
But you've seen that movie.
I don't remember her from that. All I really remember she plays, like, a germaphobe, and it's literally hilarious.
I love her. Like, all of her characters are either, like, the best friend, or they're, the quirky, like,
lady,
and it's definitely, like, memorable. Like I said, I feel like she's underrated in terms of she's never been the main role in whatever movie that she's in. She's always a supporting character.
One day, I hope to see her in the main role. That'd be
definitely
cool.
I think she has an Emmy. Let me see here. Oh, she has an Emmy nomination for Shameless.
Oh, really?
She has multiple.
That makes sense. I mean, she was really good in that show.
Yeah, she has 5 primetime Emmy nominations.
I think... I'll try to focus more on the plot now, because I think, are we going through a run-through of the movie?
Yeah, we'll go back to talking about the movie and stop talking about her, but, and then the other members of the cast is, Miranda Cosgrove. I think this was her big break. I don't think she was on Drake and Josh before this.
Yeah, she's
it was
very
after.
Young. She's very young.
And, well, nowadays, the only thing she's really in is that iCarly remake.
Yeah.
Which we have not seen. And the other character who plays Ned Chamberlain is Mike White, and he actually wrote this movie.
The friend.
Yeah, their friend, so Mike White.
He wrote it, and he started, and he
Yeah, he wrote this movie.
That's cool.
I thought that was really fun. And then Sarah Silverman plays his girlfriend, and she is a very funny person. This is not as, like, comedic. Her role wasn't as much comedic, I think, for her. And so we'll go more over into, other than, really Miranda Cosgrove, a lot of the other characters, Kevin Clark, that plays Frankie on the drums, he was doing, a lot of, band, what I would do the research is he was in a lot of bands. He recently passed away in May, unfortunately. But it seems like a lot of the other characters, the boy that plays Zach, they really just were more focused on music after the release of this movie. So, doing a lot of research, a lot of them either were singers or in a band, and that's what they're currently doing. One of the girl that plays on bass, she has a podcast called Where Are They Now, where she talks to people that were in her movie, but also other nostalgic themes.
That's cool. That's cool. I like
that. And, yeah. It's called Where Are They Now, and it's like a nostalgia podcast where she interviews actors. Okay, so let's go into the movie. So, as the plot opens up, we... pretty much get this, like, opening, what are the opening scenes where they show all of the cast in the movie pretty much in the form of, like, a corridor. I love when those movies do, like, a credits opener that's, like, in a corridor or, like, as someone's walking and doing it stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was cool.
I don't remember that.
It's the opening where you see all the who's the director, cast, and all that. It's in the club as they're going in.
Then
you hear the music, and then the band singing the music is Jack Black's band called Black Sabbath, and he's just rocking out, acting a mess, and obviously his co-band members are like, what the fuck, guy?
So, yeah.
And that's something...
He gets...
really excited.
He gets dumped from his band group because he's just too much for them.
Yeah, so the opening is just he gets really excited. He takes off his shirt. He runs to do the stage dive and smack down on the ground. And then the next scene is where you see him in his apartment and you meet his roommate, Mike White, which is interesting, is that I originally thought that Ned is his brother, because would you let your best friend be a freeloader on your living in your living room if it wasn't a family member?
Well, I guess the point is that he's a pushover, right?
That his best friend's a pushover.
Yeah,
but I was like, that has to be his brother. And then you're like, oh, he's not his brother because he doesn't even know how to spell his last name.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting. And so then, of course, his best friend Ned and his girlfriend, well, more the girlfriend, insists that Dewey Finn, who is the main character, has to come up with the rent money or he has to move out. One thing I think is interesting about this scene where they talk about he has a week to move out. She never goes in on that threat. Like at the end of the week, they never ask for the money. And I'm pretty sure the whole movie is like a month long. Yeah. So I guess it's the idea of like, okay, you're working, you're trying to get the money, you can stay.
Yeah. Because he gets a job.
Yeah. So, and then we go into a scene where he, of course, goes to meet his bandmates, and his bandmates have replaced him as the guitarist and decided, like, hey, you're fired. That's kind of fucked, though.
I think, though, it's, I think it's hilarious who they replace him with, because it's, like, the guy, he's, just, like, the tiny little shirt on top, and, like, I don't know, I guess it's, like, the whole thing where, like, yeah, they're just more about the looks instead of the music.
Yeah. They care more about their winning this battle of the bands than their best friend who, like, helped form the band.
But at the same time, Jack Black's character, like, he's very conceited because, like, he doesn't know how to balance it out with the group, right? He just does, like, solos by himself and he wants, like, the attention of him, right? And I think that's what he learns throughout the movie.
Yeah, and he thinks he's, like, the best rocker there is.
Yeah, so that's why when he teaches the kids later on in the movie, he makes them all do the background stuff, you know?
Yeah. So then he tries to be like, hey, I'm gonna have my own band. I'm gonna, like, put a bunch of flyers across town. And, of course, no one wants to join his band because of his reputation. So then when he's just, like, at home sulking, the phone rings looking for his, and it is a principal of a highly valued prep school who is looking for a substitute and has Ned's information. So then Dewey asks, how much does the gig pay?
Oh, yeah.
And he finds out that his roommate makes about, that the school's going to pay by about $650 a week.
Yeah.
Which I thought was low, but then I also realized this movie was made, like, 20 years ago. So, 18 years ago.
Yeah, it's kind of effed up what he does.
So then he decides to go to the school and pose as his roommate Ned and take the job.
Which is insane, of course, but, you know.
And then, of course, I think one of the, like, funnier moments is where, obviously, it becomes very, apparent that he is there for the paycheck. Because he keeps asking, oh, what time is school out? Like, when do I get paid? Can I get paid now? And then he says, oh, what time's lunch? Like, he doesn't really care about the school.
He's there to, what is interesting is that he never gets caught throughout the movie. He somehow does not do anything. And just,
he gets caught at the end.
Of course, at the end. Like, so, throughout the entire movie, he somehow avoids people figuring it out.
And then, and he, of course, he says, he doesn't even know how to spell his roommate's last name. So he just says, okay, call me Mr. S. And as soon as she leaves, he's like, hey, I don't give a shit. Like, do whatever you want. I'm just here to collect a paycheck. And so then we go to the next day where he, of course, all the kids go to their music lesson and they're all playing their instruments, practicing what looks like to be like orchestra class, right?
Yeah.
And then he realizes they can all play instruments and they're pretty good.
Yeah, because they're all like rich kids.
Yeah.
They're forced to learn classical music.
So then he goes out to his car, grabs all his shit, puts it in the classroom, and then when the kids come back, it's like, hey, I heard you guys can rock. Let's essentially start a band with a bunch of fifth graders. And then he pretty much says, hey, he pretty much assigns everyone like their instruments, and that's where you go into the one of the funnier parts of the show where he talks about how teaches the kids how to stick it to the man to a bunch of 10-year-olds.
I like this scene where there's like a kid and like they're in the hallway and like they had just like the principal had just like scolded one of the kids for like rolling up his sleeves.
Yeah.
And, like, she passes one of the kids and I don't know, the kid says something like along the lines of, like, stick it to the man, but, like, making fun of her. And I was like, I remember it so clearly. It was so funny.
And then, of course, once he tries to make a band, there's a whole montage, and that's where that happens. There's a whole montage of, like, him trying to teach the kids about music and about rock theory and, like, how he's, like... Oh, yeah, and that's, like, another thing, is that he convinces the kids that this is actual, like, what they're supposed to be doing for school.
Yeah, it's a real project.
Like, it's a project, and that this is what they're doing for school. And then, of course, we have Summer, who's played by Miranda Cosgrove, who's just, like, your typical teacher's pet smartass.
Yeah, I like the how, like, it really, it's cool, because they go over, the positions of a rock band, so, like, he somehow figures out a role for everybody.
Yeah.
And, like, even the kids that aren't doing performances or like performing, they have other roles,
but like the electronics.
Also, like, it was kind of weird because it was only like a couple kids actually doing the instruments and everyone else kind of background, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even like the kid that was making the costumes, they didn't even end up using his costumes. So I feel like there were some times
they did it at the end.
No,
they all had costumes,
but like it was, I think it was really improvised because like the original costumes that he wanted,
were very flamboyant. Yeah.
Yeah, and they didn't want to use. So it was kind of, it was interesting. And like, I guess the security, it was interesting that they were helped. I don't know.
So then after about 2 weeks of them practicing, he decides to like sneak them all out of the school to go to the band audition.
Yeah.
And then with the rest of the school,
Well, they
behind to maintain their cover, and I think that's, like, one of the funniest, not the funniest parts, but it's, like, one of my favorite parts, is that, like, the principal comes and is, like, listening, and they're all, like, pretending to have class.
Yeah, it's really cute, like, how, like, smart the kids are, right? And you see, like, they're, like, really creative about it. What ends up happening is that, they can't make the audition, right? But then he uses the sick kids excuse, and then they get a spot for the actual final competition.
Yeah, so when they go to audition, they're said that the bill is full, unfortunately, and they can't audition. And so then they come up with the idea to act like all the kids are terminally ill. And then, like, hey, please, like, the kids are gonna feel so bad. They practice so hard.
Yeah.
Which is a little fucked up, but hilarious.
I think it's very, like,
it's early very
2000s. Like, it was okay to do back then, right?
Yeah, it was a very early 2000s now comedy.
Now you really shouldn't be making those jokes, but...
It's really early 2000s. A lot of this movie has very early 2000s comedy. There's a lot of, like, perv jokes.
Oh, dear lord, yeah. Especially with him and the kids.
Especially when the parents find out.
Yeah. And he's like, I've only touched the kids' hearts. And I'm like, oh my god.
So then you have, of course, so then when it blows up, it's about a month into, like, what they're doing, right? Or a few weeks into what they're doing. And that's the day of the parent night. Well, actually, before that, you have a moment, you have a whole storyline and scene with the principal and Dewey's character go on a date because he's trying to convince her that he should allow him to take him on a field trip. And they go to a bar.
Blackjack's character is very manipulative. He's very manipulative. Like, this entire movie, he literally manipulates, like, everyone and anyone. Especially, like, the principal. I actually feel really bad for her.
She's just like, trying to do her job, and she hired this, like... Yeah.
She literally admits that it's like, oh, like, I never wanted to be like this, but then, like, the parents, like, they're just so strict, and, like, I have to do this, so I can't, anything, like, nothing can go wrong, and then he goes in and basically does the exact opposite. I feel bad for her.
Yeah, there is some overshadowing where she's sharing that she's strict, none of her coworkers like her.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel bad for her. And she's like, you don't understand, like, this is my job, and this is, like, I have to be like this, right? Mm-hmm. I actually did see on, like, a fun fact sheet that originally in the script, there was supposed to be a kiss in this scene when they're in their car.
Oh.
Where she calls herself a bitch.
Well, I think there is, like, a little romance between them.
But because, I think...
like, I think she just does fall for him a little bit. But then I like the end scene at the end.
Yeah.
She starts hitting... They start... The guy that was replacing him in the beginning of the band,
mm-hmm.
his other band that replaced him, is flirting with her.
Yeah. The reason they cut it out is because it doesn't insinuate, the rest of the movie doesn't insinuate that they're together, right?
Yeah.
So then it seemed kind of odd, so I think that's why they moved it. But I just thought that was an interesting little fun fact. But then, so of course, when he goes to the parents' night and he tries to explain what he's been doing in terms of, like, him actually doing his job, like, he's actually supposed to be teaching the kids, and then he's obviously doing a bad job because he has no idea what the kids are, A, supposed to be learning, and B, like, yeah, he just hasn't been doing the job, right? And so then the kids are like, oh, we should tell the parents because you're trying to keep it a secret. And then the parents are like, what are they talking about?
Oh, well,
and then the kids expose that they've
one
been.
One thing I like is that, like, you see a very big difference in the kids. And, like, you can see that they're unhappy before and they get, like, a little happier. And, like, I like when he, like, recommends each of them, like an album.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives them, like, an album to take home. And they start listening to it. And I think, like, they focus more on the kid that's the guitarist
mm-hmm.
to show how they change. Because his dad's very strict, wants him to play, what was his instrument? I don't know.
His instrument was the guitar, but his dad wanted him to play classical music on the guitar. It was acoustic guitar.
So, exactly. And then he was like, no, and then he starts doing rock, right? And then, like, the parents
play
are like,
electric
why
guitar.
Are you, like, why, all the parents are like, my kids are changing, look what you did to my kids, like, look, now they like, rock, now they're, like, you know, listening to all this music that's
yeah, because the idea different. Is that the kids are, the parents are sending their kids to a very elite private school, and, like, what are they learning at this private school?
Yeah.
And then one of my favorite scenes, which happened earlier, was actually the one with Miranda Cosgrove, because it kind of would be like, oh, this scene is probably how she got Drake and Josh. It's where she tells him, I know what a groupie is, because he says that she has to be a groupie.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. She says, I looked up what it was a groupie was. It's like, oh yeah, you did? And he's like, yeah, they sleep with the band.
Yeah.
So of course then she gets to be like band manager.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
And then of course he goes in. I think it also
I really love the part with Tomika, which is one of the younger girls. She didn't want to sing at first, so she never raised her hand, but then, like, then she goes up to him and she's like, oh, well, you know, I kind of want to do it, and I actually do like singing. And I don't know, I think I related a lot to that, and I really like that part. I think that's my favorite part, is I really love her character, and I like when she's, like, nervous, he, like, calms her down, like, when they're at the audition, and he's like, you can do it. And then, like, you know, she ends up, like, actually singing at the end with him, which
yeah.
I thought was really cool. I really love her character. I really love what they did there.
Yeah, I think Jack Black, there was also, that scene's very body positive, right? Jack Black, I think for a lot of his roles, tries to be a little bit more body positive before it was really big, you know?
Yeah,
because
he was like, yeah, because he's like, well, look at me, you know? I love myself.
Yeah, he kind of points out that he is, have an extra little fat, but that, hey, that doesn't change what he does with his life, right?
Yeah, and it kind of goes into that whole thing, too, where maybe, like, his band members are all kind of skinny
mm-hmm.
and, like, maybe better looking, and then that's why they kind of kicked him out, right? Because, you know, they wanted to fit at certain types, and he's like, it's not about the looks.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's about the power of rock.
So, also at the parents' night, that's where you get the joke about how he's been touched by their kids, and he has touched their kids. The perv joke. And then they start chasing through the school.
And then, you know, it was a bit anticlimactic. I thought it was gonna be worse, which is actually, I kind of enjoy, because I hate when, like, in, like, these movies, like, you
feeling in your stomach because of something just, like, terrible happened, and, like, now, like, the main character is just, like, beyond repair. Mm-hmm. But I like that it was more, like, okay, when he came home, they were, like, bro, we had to send the cops, you know, and they're just, like, look what you made us do, right? And it wasn't as, like, oh, no, he's, like, literally getting arrested, you know, or something like that. It was a bit more, like, resolute.
I thought about that, and I thought about, like, he didn't get arrested and all that, and I thought maybe that seems unrealistic, but then I thought, oh, if this actually happened at private school, they would do everything to cover it up.
Yeah, but also I think what happens to him is better for the plot.
Yeah.
Because he's then able to
do
the final concert with the
kids, then, of course, the next day, the kids are left alone in the classroom because they don't have a substitute, and then all of the parents are in the principal's classroom yelling at her, and like, how do you not know how to do your job? How do you not know how to do this? And then the kids decide they want to go to Battle of the Bands, and that they're gonna go regardless.
Yeah, and then they figure out a way to go.
Then they leave the school and they go, and then when the principal goes to check on them, they're not there.
Yeah, and then everybody is freaking out. Well, they go to Jack Black's apartment.
And they pick him up.
They find his address somehow. And they
in New York City.
And I think what I think is really hilarious is, like, the day before, he was like, yeah, I give up. I promise I won't do anything like this, like, to his friend. Mm-hmm. And then, like,
the kids show up at his house.
And the girlfriend's there. And he's like, rock lives on. And then he just, like, kind of leaves. And he's like, I'm going to take these little children and we're going to go to the concert. And I like that, like, there's, like, the scene where, like, the friend is, like, or his girlfriend is nagging him again. He's like, see, how do you keep letting him, like, walk all over you, blah, blah, and then he's like, you know what, I'm gonna go to the concert. And then he, like, does stick it to her instead, right? He does stand up for himself, and he just leaves. And then, like,
yeah,
it's interesting. Which I like, too. It's like,
yeah. But, yeah.
The end. Then we come to the end, yeah. And then they perform, well, while the parents are trying to get in somehow. So the parents only come in the audience, so they end up watching the show.
And they end up singing the song that the character Zach wrote, right?
Yeah, I like that too, because what ended up happening was that the entire time they were practicing for the song that Jack Black wrote, or Jack Dewey's character, right, that he wrote, and then, like, he kind of realizes that it's not just about him, he wants to let the kids shine, and so then he lets... Then they used one of the guitarist, little kid's, his music, right? His song. And then, I think it's cool. I liked seeing that, like, you know, there was some kind of thing, like I said before, some people were in the band, and they had the other roles.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of see that at the end, they made, like, a projection with, like, the logos, and there was, like, the lights and stuff. And, like, you see where the other people were coming to play. I really do wish they had highlighted those people a little bit more, like, the kids that were doing those things. But I'm still glad they had, like, some appreciation at the end.
Yeah.
Which is good.
And then they show that the kid who made the costumes made the costumes and all that. And then, of course, they do not win Battle of the Bands, but the audience does demand an encore, and then the kids go back on stage and, like, rock out one last time.
Is that Nothing Else Matters? Is that what they played at the end?
Let me see.
I was looking at it. I was just looking it up.
At the end, they play It's a Long Way to the Top.
Oh.
If you want to rock and roll.
I don't know. They played somewhere in the song.
Which is by AC/DC, and then...
AC/DC. Okay.
And then it goes into the future, and you have, of course, that the kids are...
Oh, then now Jack Black's character instead... Which makes, I think it's a really good resolution, because he was a teacher, and he was actually pretty good at teaching these kids how to play instruments, right? So then he does continue being a teacher, but he just does it about rock, right? So
an after-school program.
Makes an actual school of rock.
Yeah, makes an after-school program where they teach kids music. And then you have, like, Ned's character teaching kids how to play the guitar.
I thought that was so cute.
I thought that was fun.
And
then you, of course, just have them all rocking out in their small apartment. And then that's the end of the movie, of course. On a scale of 1 to 10, what did you give this movie?
Oh, yeah. We didn't do the ratings. Okay, you go first. I'm about it.
I mean, this movie has a special place in my heart just because I grew up watching it so much. It has Jack Black, who I feel like was in a lot of movies in my childhood. In terms of, like, we didn't talk about that, but Jack Black's, of course, famous for Kung Fu Panda, School of Rock, Macho Libre, and not just a tons of other films.
Okay, so what do you rate it?
Oh, yeah. So then I think I would give it, I think I would give it a 9 out of 10. Because, like, it's such a good movie because it has that nostalgia. It has all the jokes are genuinely funny. That's, like, another thing. I feel like a lot of comedy, especially when they're for kids, they're not as, they're, like, they're funny, but they're, like, child humor. And I feel like this
it's
movie.
It's cringy. I think yeah. them now are cringy, yeah.
And this is not cringy. All the jokes are for both children and adults, right?
Yeah.
And then some of them go over the kids' heads, like, the jokes with the principal. And I just,
it's one of those things where it's, like, an adult and a kid could watch it.
Yeah.
And the child's not going to be scarred from the movie, you know?
Yeah. And I think, yeah, some parts probably deserve that rated PG-13 rating, but I definitely think that most parents wouldn't see this movie that their kids couldn't watch, you know?
Yeah.
And that
wait,
was...
Wait, hold on. I'll write too.
Oh, yeah. You gotta write.
Forgot about me. I would say, if it didn't have the music in it, which I think is really what helps this movie, I would give it, like, maybe, like, a 8. But I think just the music is something I really enjoyed about the movie, so I'm gonna bump it up a little bit. Maybe give it, like, a 9, too. I really just love all the references. I don't know, they must have spent so much money, maybe, like, getting the rights to all these songs, because there's so many songs, like, that are, like, used in this, like, especially, like, the AC/DC and, like, Metallica, and, like, you know, I just think it's interesting how they did that, or they're, even, like, Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, there are
I love the rock references, I love the music references, I think it's really cool, and I think they did it in a really cool way where it's not cringy and it actually is like it was done super well. Interesting thing, I was looking up, they do have a School of Rock, like a real one.
Wait, what?
There's like a real School of Rock
based off of the movie.
I think it took inspiration from the movie. It's like
because this is not based off a true story, it's just
no,
a
like,
complete
they're,
original
they're like,
script.
There is now a School of Rock that you can go to. I think that they use the name.
I think it does have, like, a huge cultural impact in terms of, like, they made a TV show.
See,
on Nickelodeon.
It's, like, School of Rock, the most revolutionary music education school in the world. And it's called School of Rock.
Funny. Does it have any people that were actually in the movie?
I don't know. I don't think so. Another thing, I was looking at the news. I think, for me, I enjoy the plot as a movie, but I think I enjoy the musical a lot more. I just love the musical.
Yeah.
And Andrew Lloyd Webber made the music for the musical, which I just found out. And I think that's great because he makes amazing music and I love him so much. He's a really good, really good, like, writer, songwriter. So he made the music for that. So maybe we should listen to the music and then maybe next episode we can mention how it went. But I do want to listen to the full musical,
yeah,
because there's a lot of good songs. I just love Stick It to the Man. It goes like, da na 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 na, stick it to
them.
And they're like, oh, it just makes you want to dance. Anyways.
Also, I wanted to point out that there is a script out for a sequel.
That
Mike White did return as a screenwriter and wrote a sequel that was supposed to be called School of Rock. To American Rocks, which was supposed to be how Finn leads a group of summer school students across country field trip to talk about the history of rock and roll.
Oh, hold on. One also thing.
But it never happened.
One thing. Alex Brightman, the guy who plays Beetlejuice in Beetlejuice musical, mm-hmm. he plays Dewey in the School of Rock musical. So he, like, I think he originates the role. And that is crazy to me because I literally love him so much. Like, he originated the role. And, anyways, I just wanted to throw that out there. If you like musicals, Andrew Lloyd Webber made the musical, and it was created, or, like, the originated by Alex Brightman, Dewey's character.
Yeah.
Which is cool. There's a lot of famous people in that musical, so. Interesting. Check it out if you haven't. Check out the movie, too. Movie's a great way to figure out the plot, because I think there's a lot of details to this, this story.
Yeah. Oh, something we didn't mention in the beginning, which I want to kind of always mention, too, is the critical response to the movie. We didn't talk about that in the beginning.
The Rotten Tomatoes.
The Rotten Tomatoes was 92% on Rotten Tomatoes and had an... So, let me look here at the word. So, it was 92%. Sorry for the typing. A little typing ASMR.
ASMR.
So it has... Let me look here. So it has 92% of, like, the Rotten Tomatoes meter. And then it has a 64% audience score. And I just think that probably has to do with a lot of, like, the jokes and all that, and probably because people think this is a movie that's supposed to be for kids, but it technically is a rated PG-13 movie and has those adult elements, which a lot of people from certain parts of the country do not like.
Huh.
If ever, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Conservatives. But yeah, pretty much all of the reviews that I had seen about the movie was pretty much people talking about how the movie was just reminded them childhood and that it's like a cult favorite.
Oh my goodness.
I wouldn't say it's a cult favorite because it's just always been popular.
If they ever release the musical, like if they release a film version of it, we should also, we should do another episode on it. Just the musical movie, like the recorded one, because Rosalie is played by Sarah Bogus in the original, and she plays like the original Ariel, and in like the original the 25th anniversary.
Does she play the principal? Opera.
She plays, I think, yeah. Rosalie is the principal, right? I think it's Rosalie. School of Rock.
Yeah. Principal, which she calls Ross.
She plays, so that's cool. And, like, they, right now, are having a UK and Ireland tour. Or maybe they just had it, but it was this year in 2021 for this show. So it's still live, guys. It's still happening. And I hope they put it back on Broadway one day. That would be great. But, yeah. Sorry. I'm over here fangirling. Musicals, because I just love musicals, but, is that it?
I think that's it, that was really everything that we were talking about. Go watch this movie just because it's like,
oh yeah,
nostalgia, and if you have never seen it.
There's great character development in Dewey. He does become different, and he changes at the end, which is really great, and I like to see that in movies.
And it just has a whole lot of heart, even with a lot of the kids, they have their own storylines, their own struggles.
Yeah, it's not balanced.
It's very balanced with having a big cast of kids.
But
also something that I read in the fun facts was that, like, the parents were pretty nervous about having the kids film with Jack Black, but just because he'd be in a bad influence, but apparently Jack Black is, like, loves kids, and he's, like, the sweetest.
Jack Black is, okay, I love
and he, like, mentored a lot of the kids,
like, of
and all
movies.
Of the people that were permission it had nothing to good things to say about him, pretty much.
Nothing bad to say. That's good. Okay, cool. So, we can end here. We will see you next week.
What am I watching?
Say that at the same time? Okay. One, two,
three. What am I watching?
Watching?
Bye.
With Yasmin. I'm Yasmin.
And Maddie.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, guys.